Oh, man. See that? The thing about these videos is that they're all true. Like every single, no, like every single, that conversation happened. Like seriously. And, but, you know, after me and Dave had a wrestling match, we rock, paper, scissors a few times. And we actually did end up buying the curriculum. It's a great curriculum. We do it over in Children's. But I had about like $100 to $200 like that I saved on it. And I found this, we videoed like this great way and creative way on how to spend that $200. And we actually got on film. So check it out. Oh man. So Dave thinks I spend a lot of money. Like if you ask him who spends the most money at this church, he's like Rob by far. So maybe that's why he thinks that I need to have a I can manage sermon this month. But over the past 2 years, we've changed a lot of things down in the basement. We have youth group on Wednesday nights in the basement, and we've added a bunch of different elements over the past few years. And one of the things that I really wanted to do this year, one of my goals, was to add a musical element to it, where we have not only teaching and studying of Scripture in small groups, but we also have singing and worshiping and praises to Jesus. And I went to Lisa, she's singing right here, and she sings on Sunday mornings, and I asked her, I was like, hey, do you think that we can make this happen? And she said, yeah, we just need a guitar player. And God provided us with a guitar player. Levi was like, hey, I want to learn. So he just learned. It was crazy. And he does a fantastic job. He's sitting over there. And then shortly after that, we got Sam. He's like, I play bass. And so and he's doing an incredible job. It's great. And we started doing music, and it's really cool to see that the vision that we had at the beginning of the year come together, and we're now playing here on stage for you guys, just some of the songs that we do in the morning. It's incredible. I absolutely love it. But we are in a series called I Can Manage. This is where we're looking at the resources that God has provided us with, and we're talking about it. As you can tell by that video, he thinks I like to spend money. I don't like spending money. I don't. I like to manage my money correctly. I like to manage my budget correctly. I think I do a pretty good job at it. But today's main thing is this. The Christian lines up their resources with their life purpose. We need to talk about life purpose real fast because and what we need to line it up with. Because if we don't have a life purpose with our finances or with our resources, we kind of just wander around doing whatever we want for whatever reason, which can be freeing, like the idea of having like a free mind, you know, doing whatever you want whenever you don't really have a thing, anything tying you down. But at the end of it, it really does end up being pretty stressful sometimes. And sometimes it ends up being really lonely when you don't have your things in line. In Acts 4, 32 through 37, it says this, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work with them that there was no needy person among them at all. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed for anyone who had a need. See, when the first church was started in Acts, right after Jesus ascended into heaven, these people, they got it. They had this idea, they had this vision of, what if we started a group? What if we came together as a people and we owned nothing? And we just gave everything, we gave all of our resources to God. What if we put God and our Lord Jesus in the center of everything? See, our life purpose, and what the people in Acts understood, our life purpose is to serve the Lord. We all have a service towards something. There's something in our life that's in the center, and everything kind of revolves around it, whether that's sports, whether that's our job, whether that's our house, whether that's our family. It could be church. It could be serving the Lord. We all have something that's in the middle, and we're all born with this idea that whatever's in the middle, and everything that is important is going to revolve around it. We're born with this because if you think about it, our solar system, the sun, you know, we have the sun in the middle, and depending on what's going on with our planet that is rotating around the sun determines on what we do during the day. Like when the sun comes up, we wake up, and then we eat dinner, and then we eat lunch, We don't eat dinner. We eat breakfast. We eat breakfast, then we eat lunch, then we eat dinner, and then we go to bed when it gets dark, for most of us. There's some people like Tim Wheaton whose schedule is flipped. But that's what we do. Whatever's in the center dictates what we do on our day-to-day lives. It's ingrained in our body. Whatever's in the middle at the moment, we use our resources to impact what's in the middle. See, the use of our resources represents our life purpose. When I was in college, all the freshmen had to meet with the dean of students. It happened on the second night of college. It happened right after curfew at 11:30. Yes, I had a curfew in college at 11:30 on the weekdays. And it was hilarious because for every rule that we had at Johnson University, there is a hilarious story to go with it on why that rule happened. We have that in youth group as well. We have that at church. You know, don't do that because that one time Jimmy fell off the thing and hurt himself. So we had tons of stories like that. But I remember he ended that four-hour session the exact same way every single year. I got to attend three of them. And it said this: over the next 4 years of you all being here, I'm going to get to know some of you guys really well. And some of you guys I won't get to know. But for those that I don't get to know, I will have a good idea of who you are by what you care about, what activities you're a part of, and what people you involve yourself with over the next 4 years. See, whatever is in the center of our life, whatever we care about, that's what we're going to attach ourselves to. We have a bunch of different resources at hand. We really do. Some more than others, I understand that, but everybody has these three things. We have time, we have talent, and we have treasures, all three of us. We have all three of those everybody has, some more than others. And there's these two parties that are really trying to get those three things. On one side, we have Satan, we have the devil, who his only goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants everything in your life to be a burden. And then on the other side, we have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died and wants everything to be light. He doesn't want any restraints on your body. He wants you to be free. And we need to talk about these resources. And we need to talk about what's going on and what's in the center of our life. Because Jesus says, if you follow me, you'll have peace and you'll have freedom. And you won't have any burdens, because my burden is light. But if you don't do that, Satan will be taking control. And he really will make that life really difficult. See, the first thing that we have is time. And time without a purpose, is busy. Time is one of those things that we can never get back. We all have 24 hours in a day. And we can only get so much done in those 24 hours. But Satan, this is where Satan wants to do with us. This is what he wants to do. He wants us to put so many tasks in our life that we forget about God. And once he successfully did that, when he takes God out of the picture, hey, babies. Make me stumble. Okay, here we go. So once he takes God out of the picture, Satan throws all of these earthly wonders right back into our life. All the things that God promises us that we're not going to have if we follow him, when we take God out of the picture because of our busyness, he throws them right back in and we feel it instantly. Satan has turned actual busyness into a mindset. And once he turns busyness into a mindset, we don't get anything done. You know, let me explain. I have something to confess to you guys. A few weeks ago, I remember this was a Thursday. I was up in my office, and I was trying to complete everything that I needed to for Sunday and for our next Wednesday. And I was in that, and I was in my mindset of just getting work done. I was on my computer finishing it. And when I left that day, I went home, I went to the gym, came back, showered, and I went to bed. I did that entire day without praying and without reading my Bible. And then the next day on Friday, Friday's my day off, I woke up, I had breakfast, I cut the grass, I came back into the garage, cleaned up the garage, and my farthest back wall in my garage was Michigan colors. I had to paint over that because it's ugly. And then my wife came home after that, and we had dinner. We watched one TV show, we went to the gym, came back, took a shower, went to bed. All doing that without myself praying or reading my Bible. And by Saturday, I was so consumed with worry about Sunday, I was so consumed with worry and anxiety that I had so much to do on Sunday that I literally just sat on my couch and completed nothing because I was so consumed with anxiety. Matthew 11:29-30 says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am a gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, Jesus comes and says, if you follow me, if you seek my kingdom first, my yoke is easy. But if you do not put his kingdom first and you get caught up in this regular routine of life with the worry and anxiety and fear of the unknown and earthly expectations of what your day should look like and what your week should look like and what you're going to miss out on, that will fall directly on your shoulders. In today's society, worry and anxiety is the new busy. But if we seek his kingdom first and put on his yoke, time with a purpose is freeing. See, when you enter into his kingdom and you follow his pattern, you will find healing. And all of a sudden, the daily grind of doing homework and tests and going to sports and getting the house ready for everybody to come home and getting your job done doesn't seem like an impossible task anymore. Don't let the work or stuff fill up your entire mindset of the day. I'm not sure if this is like for everybody, but after on Monday, after tomorrow, we will have staff meeting in the morning. And after staff meeting, I go right up to my office, and I take up my pad and paper. And I write down everything that I need to complete before Sunday so that my Wednesday program and Sunday morning programs go really, really well. I have to complete all of those things before I go home at the end of the week, or something's going to be missed. And depending on the season of the year, whether it's like, you know, Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter or summer programs or VBS, sometimes those things can get, like the list can get pretty long. And I've literally been up in my office and was so consumed with the idea of work that I didn't actually do any work. You know, when you look at it so much, Satan had got into my mind and got just the feeling of work came before my actual work. I was sitting there for so long, and then I realized what I had done. The idea of work had actually prevented me from starting work in the first place. And that's what Satan wants from us. He wants us to have the idea in our head that we have so much to do that he has trapped us and just consumed us in one place. But the good thing is God says no to that. He asks us if we want peace. If we want peace, we need to seek his kingdom first. We need to put him in the center of our lives. And we need to go after him with everything we have. When we pray to him and we seek his will, he will give us freedom from the traps that Satan has put in our lives every single day, which really allows us to get things done and use our talents for God. See, that's the second thing we need to talk about, talents. Talents without a purpose is an obligation. So many of us have great talents. We have incredibly talented people at this church. You can see on stage. There really is so many people that use their good works for God here at Catalyst. And we have a lot of people that are really good that have been, like, when they're born, you know that they have so much talent. And we have some people that received these gifts from the Lord once they were immersed in the Holy Spirit. But Satan wants to convince us that we're not good enough. And he will do everything, he will use everything and everybody to convince us that there is somebody better than you at the job that you should be doing. And the worst of it is when we want to use our talents for something good and we're thinking about using that gift for the church, and that gift and that work seems like it's just exhausting and you end up not doing it. Satan will convince you in any way that you are not needed for the church and that someone else can do a better job. That's what Satan wants to convince you of. But I'm here to tell you that there's no better person than you. I've heard a lot of stories recently here at Catalyst and out in the community of people that are joined a new congregation and are hesitant to start volunteering because they were hurt or burned in their past church. Guys, don't let Satan rob you of the joy that you receive when you volunteer and when you serve. Don't let somebody else's sin or decision rob you from the amazing joy that you can receive when you volunteer or you do the work inside of his kingdom. because talents with a purpose is freeing. There is so much joy when you put God in the center and you follow him. I tell my students all the time, if you have a talent or something you enjoy, use it for God because you will never regret it. I remember the very first time I volunteered. I volunteered at a church. I was 17 years old, and I was dating my now wife, Kaylee, and her mom came up to me, Janie, she's sitting right there, and she came up to me. I'd only been going to church for a couple of months, and she came up to me and said, hey, I do this children's program during Christmas, and I don't have a sound guy. You're gonna do sound. And I'm like, okay, then. I guess I'm doing sound. And I just like, okay, you know, that'd be fun. I enjoy technology. I'll get to know the church a little bit more. You know, it's a win-win. But when I went there, I realized something. I found that was the most enjoyable 2 hours of my life every single week. I couldn't wait to go and just move some sliders for some kids on Thursday nights. I couldn't wait. It was the most enjoying thing. It was easy, and it wasn't work at all. And then I realized how great it was, and I started helping Kaylee in the twos and threes classroom. And then Janie, her mom, came back to me and was like, hey, I run a week of camp at Bluegrass Christian Camp, and I need your help, so you're going to be there for a week, and we're going to have a great time. And I was like, well, I guess I'm spending a week at camp. And it was incredible, because through that week and through going to camp as a high schooler, that started getting me thinking into going to full-time ministry, because I spent an entire week at camp. Psalm 16:11 says this, you make known to me the path of life. You will find me with joy and in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. See, there's so much freedom in the path of Jesus. Last week, Dave talked about getting out of debt. It was a great message. And he gave us a lot of different tools. Remember, he had the big poster up here, and he was writing on it. Instead of explaining that to you guys again, because that would take a long time, I found a video that perfectly explains everything Dave talked about last week. Check this out.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. So it's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. Thank you.
right, so I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
See, treasures, that's so good, I love that. Treasures without a purpose is pressure. As you can tell, those kids were under immense amount of pressure to eat that marshmallow. See, God has blessed us with amazing gifts, and He wants us to have good gifts because He wants to give us to Him. And He knows money is very important because we need money to survive. Unfortunately, money is something that we've grown a blind eye to over these past years. Being in debt is something that is widely acceptable and encouraged by credit card companies and those loan companies that you see. It's widely encouraged. Just like those kids, some are given something so nice and are told, hey, if you take care of this, if you hold on to it, if you don't spend it right now, you'll receive something more. But Satan comes and says, you need it now. And if you don't get it, you're going to miss out. And you won't be cool. And somebody else is going to be above you if you don't use it right now. You're going to miss out. You're going to be behind. So use it now. Luke 16:10 says this, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little will be dishonest with much. Satan wants to trap us and get us tied down to these earthly things such as money. He doesn't want us to be able to do anything because he wants you to be represented by a dollar sign and not by a follower of Christ. But God doesn't want that at all, because treasures with a purpose is freeing. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. The reason the Bible talks about money 120 times and the reason that we have this sermon series is because of what it says in Matthew 6:24. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. See, God talks about money so much because He doesn't want us to be distracted when it comes to doing ministry and when He is the center in our lives. He knows what money can do to people. He knows what greed can absolutely destroy everything in this world. We all know it. We've all seen it. But if we allow God to be the center of our lives, everything that we do will revolve around Him. All of our resources will be flowing towards Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When we call ourselves a follower of Christ, that's not somebody that just believes in Jesus. That's somebody who is actively pursuing Jesus, and Jesus is in the center of their life because everything that they have is revolving around Jesus, because He is the most important thing. There's so much freedom if you put Jesus in the center of your life. There's so much freedom when you direct all of your resources towards your life purpose, which is Jesus. And if you want to receive that freedom, if you want to receive that amazing gift that He promises us, I encourage you, come talk to me, come talk to Dave, come talk to John, come talk to one of our elders, because we do not want you to miss out on the amazing gifts that God wants to give you and the freedom that you can receive from being a follower of Christ. I encourage you to come talk to me. Let me pray.